What's up, Fear fans? We are back from our mini summer hiatus. We are covering Fear the Walking Dead episode 9 and 10, season 3. Don't move a muscle. We have a lot coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I know you guys don't want to hear us sing. Me and Natalie thought it'd be a good little change of pace to kind of introduce another song, and I think this song totally encompasses what this episode was about. Just the frustration that we will soon talk about. What's up, everybody? I am Timothy Michael. I'm so excited to be back. You can reach me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. Natalie, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Natalie Dyer, and you can find me at Natalie Dyer, N-A-T-A-L-E-E-D-Y-E-R, on all social media platforms.
All social media platforms. Now guys, you might notice that our set is a little different. Just so you guys know, we are covering Fear the Walking Dead tonight, episodes 9 and 10, but coming in the future, details to come. The shows will be merging at some point. Like I said, more details to come, but this is just a little teaser.
We're really excited.
We're excited. It's going to be called The Walking Dead Weekly. But for tonight, like I said, we are covering episodes 9, The Minotaur, and episode 10, Diviner. And let's just jump right into it.
Of Fear.
Of Fear, The Walking Dead.
Of Fear, The Walking Dead.
Yes. What were your initial thoughts about this episode, Natalie?
I'm so glad we're back.
I'm glad we're back. I missed you.
I missed you too.
I did.
Those were my initial thoughts about these episodes. I was like, yes,
I love
it's
how I
back.
Asked you and you're just excited to see me. That makes me really happy.
Yes, I'm very excited to see you too. But I'm meaning, I'm just so excited the show is back.
You know what? I got a lot of slack over the summer about this show. And a lot of people being like, oh, should I watch it? Because I feel like season 1 and season 2 kind of put a bad taste in people's mouths. And mm-hmm. I feel like season 3 started off with a bang. So if anybody's out there that's just watching our after show, just clicked on it for fun, go and watch the season.
Check it out.
Because
really
the season is really good. And they just kept going with it right after the break.
Yeah.
Because they went right into, you know, the nation is moving into Brokejaw.
Right.
We knew from the start there are going to be problems.
Right.
Why? Because it's all based on a lie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think that the writers learned from The Walking Dead mm-hmm. that they shouldn't have half a season of just, we're in a safe spot.
Yes.
So things have to be interesting, otherwise you start losing followers.
Yes. And there's obviously a change in leadership. Now we've got Jake and Madison versus Ophelia and Taka.
Do you consider Jake and Madison on the same team, though?
I do, only because they are fighting for the same objective. They just have different ways of going about it.
Well, I mean, you could argue that both sides are fighting for the same thing. They're just...
That's very true.
Going about it.
Well, this is why they're co-joining in leadership,
right,
because
right.
they're all fighting for the same objective, just in different ways.
Sure.
What did you think of Jake... Well, if you want to talk about Jake and Madison being aligned.
Madison will do anything, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's... I mean, I like Jake, but she's very, very concerned about his health and his well-being. She kept asking Alicia, how's he doing? How's he doing?
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I found that interesting.
I think we were all skeptical, and I don't know about you viewers at home, but I was skeptical on who really wants peace. Because, you
right.
know, Madison always has this underlying reason or agenda.
I want peace.
I genuinely went into this thinking Taka does want peace. And
mm-hmm.
he said it in the episode. He goes, you know, my grudge died when Jeremiah died. And I don't want to spend too much recapping of what has happened, because if you guys are watching our after show, you obviously saw what happened.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Otherwise, spoiler alert.
Hopefully, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Natalie. But after the whole shooting of the head,
yep.
That's initially what I thought. I thought, okay, Jeremiah is dead. That's it. The feud should be dead.
Yes.
But that's not how humanity works, is
Mm-mm.
it?
No, because it's a back and forth, and you can expect it to be dead.
Yeah.
As you said. But every act of violence is going to have someone, like a younger child, essentially. Like, the generations are going to feel it.
Right.
No
well,
matter what.
Speaking of younger children, Taka doesn't want Troy to be in charge for right reason.
Okay, I was like,
obviously.
Well,
but I think that it's interesting because Taka knows these people. Like, he's seen them grow up. So he knows Troy's mindset. Because at first I was like, wow, you've only met Troy like twice and you already know what kind of psychopath he is. But if you think about it, no, he's
well, yeah.
seen these boys grow up because there's been this feud their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
That whole interaction between what Jake wants and what Troy wants, did that surprise you? About Jake trying to want to, like, keep the peace and Troy being like, no.
No, that didn't surprise me because that's essentially been what Jake's been trying to do since the beginning.
Did you think that Troy would go into it so fast and try to plant things in people's heads like he does with Terrence?
I mean, yeah, sort of. I thought he'd play a little bit more of a long game, like a little bit more of a long con, but okay. I also wasn't surprised that he was like, I'm going to take these opportunities because it's kind of like letting a fire die out. It's a lot harder to, like, no, not that, not a lot harder to reignite it, but it's much easier to be like, let's do this now before you start to form relationships with these other people.
That's funny, though, because that you mentioned that, because the same thing that happened at the dam is the same thing that happened here. I thought that it was going to be more of a long game.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he would plant these little seeds, but he wouldn't be so active about it.
Right.
Whereas, no, the writers were like, we don't have time for this. We need to keep viewers entertained. We need to do it now.
It could also be just, like, in this world that they're living in, actions mean a lot more, and you have to do things faster because stuff changes so quickly.
That's true. Yeah. No, I agree. And speaking of changes, Terrence goes and tries to shoot one of the Nation people, which we knew something was going to happen. But like I said, I didn't know it was going to happen that quickly into the episode.
To be honest, I really thought that they were going to be bullying the kid for some reason. Like, I just...
Really?
Yeah. Like, my first inclination was like, oh, he's, like, shy and he's kind of overweight and, like, they're going to pick on him.
The,
like,
Nation was going to pick on him or his people were going to pick on him?
I just kind of figured everybody was sort of going to do something because I heard someone say, at least I'm pretty sure I heard someone say, like, some sort of, like, you know, what's this useless fat boy sort of, like, thing.
Okay.
So I heard that comment. So then I was like, oh, we're going straight into bullying. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got it, like, 2 seconds later, but at first I was like, oh, no.
Did you think that it was going to go to a head so fast with him trying to shoot?
Yeah, but I didn't think that they would retaliate in such a...
drastic manner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Retaliate, I figured, how?
Well, as we have a whole discussion about when they're just like, okay, so one guy's done something stupid. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to take all your weapons.
Right. Which is what... I'm glad you brought this up, too, because... So Terrence tries to shoot this guy. He's not dead. He didn't die.
No. In fact, the kid dies.
Right, exactly. That's... Terrence gets his, like, windpipe crushed by this guy who's, like, restraining him. Terrence winds up dying. We don't see it, but
We presume that it has happened. Right. Because they talked that it was going to happen a lot.
Right. Yeah. But, and then there's no punishment for the guy that did it.
No. And at least in today's world, in this non-apocalyptic way, you would if you were to kill somebody else, even in self-defense in that side, like, type of situation.
Yeah.
More likely than not, you would also be sent to jail. You would do some sort of community service, some form, because you've killed somebody.
There was a lot of unfair punishments in these two episodes, and we'll get back to them. But I do want to go back to something that you touched on with the weapons, because we were watching this episode, you guys, and Natalie had a very selected point of view, an opinion on the fact that Taka, because of what Terrence did, wants to control all the weapons. Go ahead, Natalie. I'm going to let you take this
one. Yeah, okay. Here's the deal. I would not give up my weapons, which is why I have such a problem with it. And I was instantly in love with the idea that Jake had a key and Taka had a key.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was a fair, like, this is an equal thing. You have two sides. You want to keep it even.
Yeah.
So sure, gather up all the weapons, but then keep it so that one side has the key access. And the other side has a key.
Right.
So it's even.
Yeah.
Especially because I think you need both keys to unlock, maybe?
Yes.
The guns? So I liked...
I don't think you need both keys. I think one key.
They should have acted it up so that you needed both keys in order to unlock it.
If you were
which
there,
is how
Natalie.
I was believing... That's how I thought it was working out. And I was like, that's a brilliant idea. But by him saying, give me the key, we're taking all the guns, we're like, you're instantly alienating that group of people, which is 50%. And that's going to make a lot of people very angry and very touchy, which we saw. So
here's my thoughts on the matter. I feel like once you break that trust, which is what Terrence did by shooting one of their people.
Sure, he shouldn't be allowed to have guns.
Not he, but that whole group. I'm sorry. And I don't want to... I just... That's just how I feel. I feel like because he broke trust, then all those people just need to give the guns to Taka's group, because clearly Taka said it, you know, he wants to keep peace, and I genuinely believed him, and I didn't think that his people would kind of or try to retaliate against the broke jaw people. That's what I'm calling them, the broke jaw people. And until one of Taka's people proved otherwise, then
I'm a full, like, either nobody has it and, like, you have an equal, like, access.
Okay.
Or you all have weapons, especially in this situation when you have infected. I mean, they're kind of in a secluded area, but they still have, like, a high chance of something happening, and you're gonna need a weapon.
Yeah.
Like, this is a post-apocalyptic world in which you're going to need a weapon. Mm-hmm. So I would have a lot of trouble giving that weapon up. I own like, you know, a knife for, like, getting out of my car and shit. But if I was in that situation and I had a weapon, I would not want to give it up.
Guys, tell us what you think. And Anthony, yes, our wonderful engineer, if you can bring up our live chat, because I do want to, if anybody's in the live chat, I do want to see what you guys are saying. One person that did have a problem with this, just like you, Natalie, is Troy, because they go to his place. He doesn't want to give up the weapons. Nope. This whole shootout incurs.
He should have just hid one of the weapons.
I don't think that Troy...
No, okay.
Because he did that once and it didn't work in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And they found it. So Once again, I didn't think it was going to happen this fast. Mm-hmm. And this whole shootout happens and I was like, well, Troy better die, because I'm like, this whole thing, if this all happens for nothing, then I'm gonna be really upset, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're right, he is too good of a villain, and I don't even know if I want to say villain as opposed to a really dimensional character, because he's got, like, all of this, like, you know, childhood abuse and, like, alcoholism thrown from his father's side and just, like, all these mental, like, things. I love Troy as a character. I just don't know why everything is so fast with him.
Right. He's
loopy,
yeah. He has some issues.
Yeah. And he says something that's really interesting before the whole shootout happens. He says it's surrender, and Madison goes, no, it's survival.
Right.
So it's this whole surrender versus survival in this episode. What would you have done? Because you have such a problem with the authority.
That I would have hit a weapon real well. Like, here's the deal, though. I would have hit it before this whole thing even came up.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been, like, buried in a field, like, when we knew other people were showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would have that issue, and again, I feel like the only reason I'm okay with the whole, like, let me have the gun is because I know I'm sane and I'm not gonna
do crazy stuff, right?
That's the whole reason I would have an issue giving it up, but then again, that could make me crazy.
I think what's interesting,
and I don't mean crazy, but I just mean, like,
well, I'm glad you said the word crazy, because Troy was a little delusional. While they were in the house, I'm talking they as in...
You have to admit, it was kind of hilarious.
As in Nick and Troy, because yeah. I was like, Troy honestly believes that Nick is on his side in this, and Nick is just sitting there like, no, dude, I'm just trying to, like, convince you not to get us both killed and to just surrender. But that's not how Troy sees it. Troy sees it as Nick has his back. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because this relationship was really interesting, because it went from 0 to 60 really quick. Because then, when punishments ensue after this, Nick was hallucinating and he saw Troy. So, and we saw in the beginning of the episode when him and Troy were, you know, like, the RV, the RTV together.
ATV.
Thank you. This is why I have you as my co-host, so you can correct me on stuff like this. I just thought that relationship was weird, because I always expected a relationship from Madison and Troy, but never a relationship between Nick and Troy, and especially not so fast.
Right. Well, here's the thing, and I said it earlier as well. I believe Troy knew that his dad didn't just, like, kill himself.
Yeah, which Nick tells him.
Right, and he maybe pretended shocked, but I think he was more shocked that Nick did it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that, like, I think he believed Madison had.
Mm.
Because he's seen how Madison can react and do things. So when it was Nick, it was kind of more of like a, oh.
Yeah.
Moment.
And because of Troy's actions, he's going to be exiled.
Right.
Did we think that was fair?
Yeah, totally.
You didn't think that he should have been executed?
Well, no, because they didn't show any actual deaths. Hmm. So we have, they just he wouldn't give up the guns, and they didn't show any deaths until he killed the guy in the truck.
Which, I don't think he killed him. I think he just knocked him out. Yeah.
He stabbed him a few times.
He stabbed him once when he grabbed him, and then I think he just knocked him out.
Because and then I think he hit him again, like, somewhere.
I don't know. Guys, let us know, because I didn't think that he died. I thought he just knocked him out.
But
that relationship, that whole scene when he was being exiled, I mm-hmm. love how he said he wanted Madison to take him because he trusts her. Uh-huh. And then he goes and he calls her the White Witch of the Apocalypse, which was by far the best line of the two episodes.
Amazing.
White Witch of the Apocalypse. I enjoyed where the relationship between Troy and Madison was going.
Sure.
Do we think that Troy will be back?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I don't see him not coming back. And I also have told you the prediction, but I will tell you guys later when we actually do predictions.
Okay.
My thoughts on what's going to happen with Troy.
Yes, we will hit those in predictions later on.
Yeah.
What I like about The Walking Dead is that there weren't that many walkers in this episode. Or infected. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, infected. But what I love about The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, is that they keep us engaged with other issues. Like now we have a water shortage. Water shortage. That was my New York coming out, guys. We have a water shortage, which Madison finds out and tells Taka.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes and tells Nick and Alicia. But they tell them not to tell everybody else.
She told Alicia.
Told Alicia, yes.
Not Nick. Because he was in a sweatbox.
Right, yes. Yes, because he was being punished.
Which was an unfair punishment.
Thank you. Speaking of unfair punishments, I thought that was unfair as well. Yes. Yep. Because he literally didn't do anything. But coming further, if we want to talk about that right now, it's good that he did that because it kind of, he was like an undercover agent for the militia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how he played it later on.
Yeah.
But we'll get to it. I want to talk about this water shortage because this is just another problem that in real life you think about, oh, yeah, that would happen. You're in Mexico or Southern California.
I wrote, ain't no water, then a California drought.
Like,
that was my note, so.
But you would think that if
you would go north?
Yes, to that. Or B, Jeremiah had this whole plan set up for years. Maybe you should have thought to maybe get a better water resource, or.
Well, I mean, it was a pretty good reserve. The problem was they probably just didn't have any rains recently, which is understandable, as we can tell from our
but they also have all of these I don't want to say benefits, but they've got horses and cattle and mm-hmm. you know, all these things that
need water, milking,
and they've got RVs that they mm-hmm. sleep in and with, you know, water taps, and they can take showers.
No, it's these people are real pampered.
Yeah, no, they're so pampered. And then when they go down to these 2 gallons per day per person.
Which is still a lot of water for a person for a day.
Yeah. I mean, you have your drinking water, but am I the only one who felt bad for the horses and stuff?
Oh, well, no. No. I was like, they should be getting a ration themselves, mainly because they're useful. It's kind of like in the olden days when they were pioneering across the, they had to bring food for their animals.
No, that's true. I mean, yeah, I
keep your animals alive because they might serve you later, whether as food or
even if you don't have otherwise. A water
tube. Well, I mean, they didn't know they didn't have the water tube.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
In addition, milk is more nurturing than water because you can get calories and stuff, and water doesn't have calories.
Yeah. So. Because water doesn't have calories. You're a mess.
Mitchell Boren says, seems awfully convenient that they have a water shortage and Ophelia's dad is in charge of a whole reservoir. I agree.
I mean, we obviously knew that was coming, you guys, which we will talk about. Because things kind of bled into each other this season pretty smoothly. These two episodes pretty smoothly.
It all seemed like one episode.
Yeah, because then Taka and Madison take it upon themselves to go to a bazaar in Mexicali that they think will have this water. For whatever reason, I don't know where this water is coming from, because they see this woman, what's her name? Maria Lou, and they need 10,000 gallons of water, and apparently Maria Lou just has that lying around. Where does she get it?
Was that the half? Because she was like, I can get you half of that, but that will be all my water.
Mm. That's still 5,000 gallons of water, though.
Right. It's still a lot of water. And I would, yeah, definitely. I don't know how she has that much, but she did have that much,
yes,
apparently.
Okay, well, we jumped ahead. Because
it could have also been a total scam. We have no idea.
Well, I think she was... Well, let's take a step back, because I want to talk about this bazaar. And I'm always really excited when they introduce new locations, especially in this kind of episodes, because you're in Mexico, you don't really have that many options to go. And when we found out about the water shortage, just like the person in our chat, I thought that they were going to go directly for the dam. But that's not what happened. They went to this bazaar, and they have to, bargain to get in.
We thought they would go straight to the dam, because we knew about the dam. Right. They don't know about the dam, which is why it was this is what's going to happen, because, TV and writing.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Because... Well, I thought that they were going to, maybe find a map, and, or somebody in one of the nation people would be like, oh, I remember a dam on this piece of land. Like, something. I don't know. I thought it was just going to... I didn't know that we were going to be going to this bazaar, which was very Mad Max of them, if I dare say, because... There's, these people bargaining and getting tattoos on their eyelids. And there's, this is, post-apocalyptic.
They need makeup. They want their eyeliner on 24/7.
I was like, what's happening? I liked this whole bizarre place. I just thought it was unnecessary.
You mean for them to go there?
Yes. I think that they could have found a way.
Except for it wasn't, because they found Strand.
Right. Which, that's the only... point. But even Strand being there, why are you there? Because... Which I'm sure they'll get to in other episodes, but why are you there, getting in debt, getting into trouble, like you always do?
I mean...
And the last time we saw him, he had this whole conversation with this astronaut, and he had, this newfound vigor of life.
So maybe he went there, and he was trying to have a newfound vigor of life, and he broke something, and then, he's in debt.
Maybe. I want them to get back to that whole thing, because I need to know what happened in those...
Sure.
Moments that we missed. Speaking of Strand, were you excited about seeing him again?
I was.
Why do you sound so questions about it?
I don't know. I like Strand.
I like Strand.
But also, he is a troublemaker.
Well, yeah.
And I guess maybe he could, when they get him back to the ranch, maybe he could help some.
See, I like Strand and Madison's relationship. And that just solidified for me when they had that moment.
Oh, it did kind of totally shift.
When Madison told Strand about Travis. And, that's the first time Strand knew about that. And he coddled her and, not coddled, but, consoled her. And I just thought it was a great moment. And I've always liked their relationship ever since, Thomas made her promise that she would always take care of Strand.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love them two together. I don't know why, but they make a really good duo.
Definitely ship them together, because I think they're a powerhouse together.
Mm.
But at the same time, Madison's been annoying me slightly this second
I think she's
season,
been annoying so I'm like, a lot of people. speaking of Strand and his little found knowledge, he tells Madison about this dam, but he coincidentally leaves out the fact that it's Daniel that's there.
Okay, be real. Did you think he was gonna tell her?
Yes!
Why?
Because they were together. They've been together since the beginning.
Yeah, but if he says, oh, there's a dam, and by the way, Victor's there, who you think Daniel's there, who you think is dead. He also tried to kill me, by the way. So, yeah, now you want to go back and get water from him?
See, but what happens with Strand every time he tries to, leave out information, because he did the same thing with Daniel.
Yep.
And he always gets bit in the ass by it. Well, because now... Okay, so...
Boys gotta learn at some point.
Like you said, Strand always gets into trouble, and he's in trouble at this bazaar because he's gotta repay a debt to this guy named Proctor, who do we think is gonna become a villain at some point? Go after them or something?
I think he was a gold Proctor.
from Toy Story?
Yeah.
The Proctor from Toy Story 3.
I hate you. Anyway, yes, I think he potentially will come back. They're probably going to need something new from the bazaar and have to go back. And
probably.
For some reason, somebody else is
I hope not, because I honestly really didn't like the bazaar. I think that they just need to cut that out. They found Strand. He had to pay off a debt. Speaking of the debt, was I the only one who thought that Madison was going to, offer up to help him pay off his debt faster? Instead of, giving them all the money for the water.
Oh, you mean, have her also be chained out on
this is what I initially thought, because I didn't think that it was, they were going to chain him out there and expect him to die.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be, manual labor, and Madison was going to be like, I'll help him pay off his debt.
Oh, no, I thought she was going to do something like that.
To pay off, to use the money?
She wasn't going to leave him.
No, I didn't think that she was going to leave him either.
No, I would see her maybe helping pay off the debt, but she also did see the benefits of having someone know where a dam with water was. So, and he's her boo.
But thing. It's, yeah, he's like her best friend, yeah. But I just think it's funny because now she's like forcing me to go back to the dam. And Daniel's going to be like, didn't I tell you to leave? Like, what the hell? Yeah. But then he doesn't tell her about Daniel, and now she's forcing him to go back to the dam.
So, I mean, she's going to find out about Daniel. Right, well, I'm assuming that sometime in the travels from the bazaar to the dam,
he'll tell her?
He'll have to tell her.
I don't know. Daniel likes to wait till the last minute, just like he did with Daniel. Strand likes to wait till the last minute, just like he did with Daniel in the convertible car, whatever they were in.
Yeah, but I feel like he has a better connection with Madison.
This is why I was so surprised that he didn't tell her up front.
Yeah, I think it's mainly because he was afraid that she would be like, oh, great, he's still alive. Let's go get water from him.
Oh, but now he's got to do it anyway. I know.
I'm just saying that I think that's why he didn't say it at first, because he doesn't want to have to go deal with Daniel. And now he does. But, I mean, I saw that coming. So.
Well, I'm excited to see where that whole thing goes, because I'm just excited that Strand and Madison are back together. Going back to Brokejaw, though, because the militia is trying to reband together. Mm-hmm. Did you think that was going to happen?
Yeah. He said, yeah. They took their guns. Of course they're going to be like,
You think that they're banding together just because they took their guns?
Oh, no. I think they're banding together is provoked further due to that. And then further due to the shortage. And then further because they didn't have a good system to track who was getting what water. And then further because they were like, we're taking the well.
I just think that it just... And once again, went from 0 to 60 because you have this militia rebanding and they already have this thought of the nation based on false pretenses. I just really have to speak about this really quick because these people still think that Taka's people killed Gretchen's family.
Right.
And that's what they're holding on to right now. That's their main grudge because they really weren't, these people weren't really part of Otto's grudge.
That's why it's another aspect where, you know, Alicia, does Alicia know? I don't remember if she does.
Oh gosh, does she know? Does Alicia know that Troy is the one that...
I don't think so. I think she has an inkling. Okay. I mean, let's assume she does because she knew that Madison and...
Madison was the one.
Was the one who killed Otto, but then it was Nick, and that kind of also surprised her a little bit. But, which we should talk about her in a minute, because hers is all fun. She's my favorite character.
Well, go ahead. Let's talk about Alicia really quick.
Okay. She, is very smart.
She's very smart.
And, like I said, she figured out who'd really killed Otto. Mm-hmm. She is trying to keep the peace, truly.
Which we will talk about, because there was a very powerful moment at the end, but yes.
Sure, right. We'll talk about, I'll leave that out. But, I mean, she was like, I see a problem arising. Mm-hmm. She goes to Ophelia because, they used to be friends.
Right.
Now I want to start singing that song. But they used to be friends, and so she was like, hey, I see a problem arising. And then Ophelia got offended.
Right.
And the other guy got offended. And she was literally just giving them a solution to...
Or trying to find a solution.
Trying to find a solution to a potential problem.
Yes.
To prevent the overboiling, which did happen because they didn't do anything about it.
Right.
And it's like, oh!
Alicia's always been very smart. And she's literally been one of my favorite characters since season 2 when they were on the boat. And I just... I don't know why. I just love her. When she did the whole Titanic moment and she jumped off, I was all about Alicia. But I think that this entire...
The last 2 episodes are her really tired.
Yes. And I feel like it's really waning on her. Like, she's been this very strong individual. Oh, yeah. And
for
I feel
her
like...
her whole life. Like, if we want to go all the way back to her past when Nick was a druggie and her dad was off doing whatever.
Yes.
And her mom was trying to take care of Nick. She's had to support herself and sort of take care of her brother and take care of her mother.
Yep.
And as she had the line in which we rewound 5 times trying to hear what she said, and it was, I'm tired of being the strong one.
Or, yeah. And I just think, I love that line because she has been the strong one. And I knew from since season 1, because you always see this with a drug addict in a family, they always get most of the attention, and then the other sibling is just expected to do good. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's... starting to get to her. She says Nick's Madison's favorite.
And which was such a powerful scene in line. Like, what's it like being her favorite?
Yeah. And he is.
He is.
She literally has done everything to keep him. And I think that that was a fair line. Mm-hmm. What I don't think was a fair line was when Alicia was talking about Madison and she said, why do we try to make her love us? She's broken. And I think that's an unfair line because I do think that Madison loves her children. She's done everything for them in her power.
Sure, but there's different forms of love, and what Alicia is wanting is like a legit constant. I don't know. I mean, we know that Madison loves her kids, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's almost sort of an abusive love.
Yeah.
Which I think, because there's a lot of people who have children and absolutely love them, but also abuse them. So it's
just
a toss up.
I don't know. I love what Madison has done to raise her children. Granted, she's not a perfect mother, but no. I'm interested to see where Alicia goes with this thought.
But also, I think Alicia does feel unloved in a sense because it's constantly been be an adult, be responsible,
yes.
be the strong one and help me through this. And so I feel like Alicia probably doesn't really feel like she got to be the child and the irresponsible one, which Nick has gotten to be.
Yes.
So maybe Nick doesn't agree with this whole love thing, how Alicia's feeling, because right. he probably does feel very loved by his mother.
And what I'm worried about is that with Alicia, there's a common theme of she's always trying to find that love in a man. With her first boyfriend in the first season from high school, then the guy with the boat with the radio, who turned out to be crazy,
right, okay.
and now with Jake.
I don't feel like we can say the first boyfriend counts because he was in one episode.
I mean, she did care for him a lot.
Yeah, especially but we have no idea how long they were together.
I'm just saying. I just feel like she does substitute men for this wanting of love.
Yeah.
And I feel like that might get her in trouble, even though I think Jake is an outstanding guy, and I feel like he will treat her right. just saying.
He disappeared, by the way. I just thought about it.
Yeah, he did. He was in like the first with the whole like them.
He took an ATV and like disappeared.
He totally disappeared. We don't know where he went. But Alicia's very smart because she sees.
Oh wait, no, he was in the tent too, talking to the people, and Alicia stood up for him.
Yeah,
and then he disappeared.
Yeah, and then after that he disappeared.
No, we have no idea what
happened. But Alicia's always been the smart one, and this goes to the end of the episode, which is what I touched on earlier. The militia is trying to attack. The nation, the mm-hmm. rebanded militia, is
because
trying to attack the
Nick,
nation.
Nick, like, pulled the gun and was
right, after the whole well thing.
Stopping the well. Just to recap, we're back to that conversation.
Yes. And then he looks over and Alicia's trying to find water with the nation.
Right.
Trying to build a bridge, trying to fill a gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that inspires, that what it does, inspire everybody to be like, you know what?
Well, it inspires Nick. And then Nick's the one that they're like, we're kind of following you, so we will follow you.
It was
you
like a trickle-down effect.
Yes, exactly.
Like, Nick goes over, and then Ophelia and her crew see Nick.
Apparently, Nick's a leader.
Apparently. And then they follow, and then the militia or everybody else from Brokejaw follow.
Right.
And I love this because they're making this water shortage problem the issue, and it's all them band against the common enemy, which is dehydration.
Right.
They need to find water.
Which is what was needed.
Exactly. So I'm glad that they ended the relationship, I mean, they ended the episodes on a higher note.
Sure.
I don't know how long that higher note is going to last. Which brings us into our
predictions. Which?
Predictions. We love predictions.
Yeah.
Yes, we count on it so much, you guys. Predictions. I'm gonna shoot it over to you because I want to hear what you have to think that I want to hear what you have to say is gonna come up in the next what eight episodes.
Okay, so I was looking at the future episodes and their titles, and one is called My Brother's Keeper, or Brother's Keeper, and so I think there's two possibilities.
Yes.
At first, I was like, oh, it's probably just Alicia having to take care of Nick again in some form.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't think that's it, because I googled what My Brother's Keeper is. Like, where that term came from, and it's Cain and Abel. So now, I think that it is Troy coming back and Jake having to either deal with him or run off with him.
Mm-hmm.
Troy is coming back, people. He's too good of a villain, or non-villain, or problem person not have on the show anymore.
Yes.
Just because he had a shootout.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on that. If you guys have predictions, definitely drop them into the chat for us, and we'll read them. What are your predictions?
I do think Troy's coming back because he is a phenomenal dimensional character. I'm excited to see what happens with Strand at Brokejaw, just because he's always in trouble.
Well, I think first we need to see what happens.
Before he goes to the dam and that whole relationship with... I feel like Madison's going
to
be like...
I think they're going to go to the dam first.
They are. Okay. And I feel like Madison's going to be the peacekeeper. I'm just jumping really ahead.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Madison's just going to be a peacekeeper and Strand... Or Daniel's going to have a problem with Strand. Mm-hmm. And then... Madison's going to be like, look, just put it away. But then Madison's got to tell Strand about Ophelia, and that'll kind of ease his issue with Daniel, because that was his main issue in general, because that's why he left him at the hotel, because he lied about Ophelia. But now that they're at the, there's a so lot going on, you guys. This is what I think is going to happen, though. I don't know if anybody else got onto it, and I might be way off base, but there was a little thing between Nick and Ophelia while Taco was gone.
Oh, yeah.
And... do we think that there's going to be a love triangle at some point with those three?
Whoa.
Because I feel like, okay, no, just back up. Just think about when Ophelia and Nick were on the boat together.
Sure.
And I know I brought up the boat a lot this episode, but there was a lot that happened on the boat. But they had a moment. They had a moment on the yacht. Uh-huh. So I'm thinking that that hasn't died yet. And you know Nick likes his little ethnic women. Just saying. He liked Luciana, and he,
I could maybe see something happening. And, like, I did say, oh, man, I kind of ship him about... 2 minutes into the episode, but it's probably a little bit more than 2 minutes, but anyway, but I think that this last episode drove quite a wedge between the two of them, and I mean, maybe they'll get back to it through this whole, like, we're digging for water, but I don't think it's gonna be immediate or yeah.
Well, let's talk about our biggest prediction. Do you think that they'll find water?
I mean,
or do you think that they're gonna have to really source it from the dam? Or both?
There might be a little bit of both, in a sense. It might be that they don't find water for a while until it's, like, an absolute... like, maybe even they're trying to make a deal with Daniel and something's going south or something happens, and then they'll maybe find water. I think they will, obviously they will find water at some point. I just don't know how.
See, my optimistic self says... you know, the nation is digging for water. Hopefully they find it. That way they can prove to, you know, the Brokejaw people that, hey, we found water. Let's be, like, let's make peace.
Do you think that'll happen? Because in the trailer for next week, we have a snippet of, I believe it was Taka saying, if there's enough water for both sides, great. If there's not, my people get the water first.
I mean, that's just my optimistic self, Natalie. I don't think they're going to find water. I hope they find water. I don't think they're going to find it.
And my other thing is that I think Alicia is 100% fed up with her mom at the moment.
Oh, completely.
And then especially when her mom was not responding on the radio. So I think there's going to be a falling out of some form.
Between them. Yeah.
At least some form of fight. There's got to be.
It usually comes to a head with those two.
Yeah, they're both very stubborn.
They are very stubborn. She is just like her mother. They are both very strong women, which is why we love this show. Mm-hmm. You guys, that is our recap episode of Fear the Walking Dead, episodes 9 and 10. Thank you guys for tuning in. We want to hear your thoughts throughout the week.
Yes.
Tweet us at Natalie Dyer, at I am Timothy Mike, because we want to hear your thoughts. We want to bring you guys up on the next episode. Like I said, stay tuned for more details on The Walking Dead Weekly. There are more details to come. We're excited about it. But yes, that is our episode. I am Timothy Michael. Find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike.
And I am Natalie Dyer, and you can find me at Natalie Dyer on all social media platforms. That's NATALEEDYER. I'm also on a dungeon D&D podcast, which is Dungeons and Dragons podcast. It's you can find us at The Dungeon Hole, I believe, on Twitter. I will have to double check that, and I will tweet about it. So follow me there, and then I'll send you over there.
That's it, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.